Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us, in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT, you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety. Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork. But somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Odyssey celebrates Labor Day. Brought to you by T-Mobile, America's best mobile network according to Ookla Speed Test. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speed Test Intelligence data 1H 2026.
As we get ready for the start of the football season, the real start, which will be in September, we get the sort of false start here, which is the start of the preseason, which will already kicked off with the Hall of Fame game, but for our purposes, locally, starts Friday night with the Jets and Bucks, and then Saturday afternoon with the Giants and Vikings. And it, look, it scratches an itch. You get to see the Giants and Jets on the field and not just in our dreams or in training camp, but you get to see them on the field, albeit in exhibition, preseason type formats, but still you get to see the first glimpse of John Harbaugh, the first glimpse here, or the re-debut glimpse of Geno Smith in a Jet uniform for the second time here. Geno Smith at 2.0, so to speak. And you get to see Jackson Dart as the lead guy now in preseason, where last year it was still this sort of farce they had of Russell Wilson being the starter. Now you get to see Jackson Dart as the man, as QB1. And I'm excited for it. Not as excited I would be for the regular season, but it is a sign of, well, a couple things. Number one, you see football and it tells me, well, it'll be less humid coming up because it can't be any more humid than it's been. I mean, honestly, you know, we really need more thunderstorms. That's what we, I mean, please. I mean, the humidity is, unless you have a pool like Fatso, Marash, you really tell me what the advantages are of this humid weather. And everywhere you look, it's record-breaking heat too. So, you know, if you could just cool off a little bit, that would be great. Thanks. So if we could get to like the football season, September, October, and before you know it, folks, it'll be week 9. But it's true. Before you know it, it will be week 9 of the NFL season. No season goes faster than the NFL. But we haven't even really started it yet, obviously, because the preseason is just getting underway. Giants, I have high expectations for this team. I expect a lot of them going into this year. I've made that very clear since January, that I expect this to be a playoff team. Jets, I'm optimistic, but not for this year. I think it's more likely that Aaron Glenn is fired by week 6 than it is the Jets win 6 games. And I've been a little taken aback, even though there is often Jet optimism in July and August. I've often joked that the Jets have won 12 Super Bowls in the month of July. Everywhere you turn, the Jets are going to be great. The Jets are going to be good this year. You know, the Jets are really heading in the right direction. And perhaps they are heading in the right direction, but it's still a quarterback league. It's still a head coach league, and I think the Jets don't have a good head coach, and they don't have a good quarterback. And I'm not even very much high on the backup, Cade Klubnik. In fact, I think he stinks. I watched him enough at Clemson to where I'm just not a believer in him at the NFL level, nor was I a believer in him at the collegiate level. I think the Jets' quarterback of the future is sitting there in the draft next year. So I can buy into Jet optimism a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now. But I can't buy into the Jet optimism for this season. I think they're a dead under. Their number's 5.5. I think they win 3 to 4 games this year. And that first one in Nashville is going to be real. I mean, if they lose that one, and Bobby Sala's pumping his fist, and Aaron Glenn's got egg all over his face, and it's a rough day for the Jets and Geno Smith, and they're already 0-1. After that, home Packers, and they're on the road for Detroit and Chicago, which are not going to be easy. So the Jets could be staring 0-4 right in the face. And I would imagine that, because I think week 5 is against the Browns. That's the one. If Aaron Glenn loses that one, you lose against Cleveland, you start 0-5, he's done. Frank Reich will be the new head coach. In all likelihood, Geno will be done, unless Klubnik's not ready. And then they'll just kind of play out the string with Geno, who does have a role on this team. I think ultimately he could settle in as a backup, a good veteran leader. But I don't see him bringing the Jets to the promised land like Aaron Glenn intimated in the offseason, unless you consider the promised land the number one overall pick. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Ozzy is in Woodridge. Ozzy.
What's up? TMS, baby.
What's going on?
Nothing. Soon to be 51-year-old Ozzy over here, baby.
We have a similar birthday. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah. And August babies born to blessed Mother Mary's, bro.
So
nothing better.
We're both Leos. Is that what you're telling me, bro?
No. Oh, I'm a Virgo. So what does that mean? That's why we're oil and vinegar?
Well, I don't even know. Yeah. So you're a Virgo. So when's your birthday? August what?
25th.
Okay, I'm right on the cutoff because I'm 19th, so I was very close to being a Vertigo. But really, I think I have all
Vertigo,
the qualities.
Not a Vertigo.
What did I say? Oh, whatever, Ozzy.
Vertigo.
Tomato.
I think you were thinking of Serpico because you're talking a lot about Al Pacino. But
yeah, who knows? But it's Vertigo. What is it called? Virgo?
Virgo.
Virgo. You're a Virgo, and I'm a Leo. So I think the cutoff for Leo's got to be right around the 21st, because if you're the 25th, it's amazing that we're 6 days apart, but obviously many, many years apart, but only several days
well,
apart.
10.
Well, who's counting?
You're going to be 41, right?
I guess. I like to look at it as I'm going to be 21 for the 20th time.
All right. So okay. I'm going to be 21 for the 20th time. That was my math there. I'm going off script.
It's bad math. That's why you were.
Okay?
That's why you were a gym teacher. Or phys
exactly.
Ed. Phys ed. Well, is it gym or phys ed? Like, what's more PC, phys ed or gym?
I could care less. Those who can't teach gym.
Right.
I said that before.
Yes.
So it is what it is.
Yes.
And I agree with Mickey from Dumont.
Okay.
All only child sons are soft. So I agree with what he said.
Yeah, what Ozzy is intimating here is that I am an only child, which I am, and he's implying heavily that I am also soft.
In more ways than one.
Yeah, well, the belly could be soft at times.
You're hitting
for sure.
The jogging, right? You're doing some jogging?
I am letting him watch. The problem is that I don't know if it's just genetics or whatever the case may be. Oz, you know, you're in very good shape, so perhaps you give me tips. The problem areas are still problematic for me.
Yeah, so am I. I'm skinny fat. That's what I would call
myself.
You think
so? I think you're pretty well put together. I mean, you come in with the, you basically have, when you come to these events that we, when we're hosting shows, the shirts are basically painted on. You get a Lou Gower special, a Schmedium. And I don't
Schmedium.
Know, you get those Schmediums and the pipes are bursting out there, the arms. But you're telling me if we lift the hood, it could be a bit of a dad bod.
Yeah, the 10 years when I was not hitting the weights and letting them watch, I was skinny fat.
Yeah.
So it is what it is.
Yeah.
If I don't lift the weights, I carry around 170 pounds soaking wet with rock in my pocket. When I hit the weights and I let them watch, 80 for the ladies, we're talking 185.
Little curls for the girls, absolutely.
Yeah,
I'm thinking about joining a gym. I've actually been thinking about how many people have thought about joining a gym and never do, but I am on the verge of joining a gym to let them watch.
Fatso is in a gym, so I think you should also join a gym.
I've talked about this for years with Fatso with going to the gym. I was like, come on. He's like, yeah, I went to the gym today. I was like, what, to check it, to see if it's still there? I mean, what do you mean? Would you actually do it? But I will say this about Fatso.
Yeah. He did lose weight,
and Fatso was on Ozempic before Ozempic was cool. You know, he's been on Ozempic for like 20 years, so he was ahead of the curve. And now it's everybody's on Ozempic, but Fatso was on it earlier than that, and he looks good. The legs look good. He's looking good these days.
Yeah, he likes the cycling, right? The Peloton.
He does the Peloton where you stare at your hot chick and you ride around on a bicycle, which is not the worst thing ever. I should probably sign. But yeah, I'm thinking about joining a gym this winter.
Yeah, a lot of people are on Ozempic. My wife is on Ozempic. See what I did there?
Yeah, I see what you did there. Yeah, she works out with you every night in the bedroom. But after those 5 minutes, what are you going to do? I mean, she's got to think of something else, right? Yeah, exactly.
You got to turn the TV back on. You know what I'm saying.
As I tell my wife, I got three moves. I could do them in different variations, but the reality is I have three of them.
Yeah, it is what it is, man. Hey, listen, everybody's happy, everybody's healthy. That's what counts.
That's it. I got three moves, and one of them include, are you one to do something? You know what I mean? So that's really one of the moves. And then the other two, well, it's a kid program, so we don't have to get into them. But you said something about a script here, Ozzy, so stick to it.
No, my three moves are turning the TV off, doing whatever, and then turning the TV back on.
Right.
There's my three moves.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, commercial break, done.
Right, exactly.
Back to the show.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I do.
Yesterday, speaking of shows, when you talked about Stanton getting introduced to the bases, the first thing I thought of was Ed Norton giving Ralph Kramden the golf lesson.
The hello ball.
Address the ball.
Yep,
hello ball.
Yeah, the Stanton stuff is the fact that Aaron Boone talked about Giancarlo Stanton getting introduced to a base like it was, hey, we know this girl, you might be interested in it, so we're going to introduce you to him, is ridiculous. Is the guy running around? Is he swinging the bat? Is he coming back anytime soon? And when Boone was asked that, you know, is he going to be back in either a month or a week? What do you think is more likely? He said, I don't know. So clearly, Giancarlo Stanton is not coming back anytime soon.
But that's neither here nor there. But you got me fired up yesterday. Can I talk to Tommy touchdowns or Tommy turnovers or whatever you call
yourself. You're referring
yourself.
To Tommy football. Yeah. Tommy football.
All right, yeah. Can I get a chat with him, please?
Yes.
This Cowboy fan needs to speak to him right now.
You got it. He's right here for you, Ozzy.
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule, automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Odyssey celebrates Labor Day, brought to you by T-Mobile, America's best mobile network according to Ookla speed test. Based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data 1H 2026.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tommy.
Yeah.
I got wide receiver 1 and 1A. Dude, I got a running back who's paid and is contractually going to be motivated.
Mm-hmm.
I got a two-headed athletic tight end system.
Yes, you do.
That you could only dream of. And listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
You are going to have the MetLife missile crisis in Downs week 1. You understand me?
I do.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth.
I hear you loud and clear, Ozzy. I do. You haven't mentioned much about the defense, which stinks outside of Caleb Downs.
Yes, I just did.
Well, you mentioned one player. Okay, and I love Caleb Downs, too, but you know your defense was atrocious last year. And the offense, look, it's great.
Okay.
It's great. I'm not going to take anything away from it. But we'll see what kind of defense shows up in week one.
Okay, listen to me.
Because Russell Wilson carved you up last year.
What's that?
Russell Wilson carved you up last year.
Yes. Okay. So, A, it can't get any worse. It was historically bad.
Mm-hmm.
B, I just talked about the MetLife missile crisis that's going to come down hard on your Giants offense. So, mm-hmm. Dart, beware.
Mm-hmm.
Number three,
mm-hmm.
I got potential all-pro again, Quinnen Williams, who's motivated next to his unk, Clark, on the line.
Yeah, and he just got the bag. He got the bag, Quinnen.
Just so.
Yep.
We got Gary running around back there.
Okay.
We got a new defensive coordinator, fresh from the Eagles. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo.
It sounds like you're pretty high on your Cowboys this year, Ozzy. I mean, why even play the season? Why even bother? You know what? The Giants shouldn't even bother showing up. It sounds like they should just forfeit. They should just wave the white flag. They should just bend the knee, and they shouldn't even bother playing the game because everything I'm hearing, Ozzy, you basically have Emmitt Smith, Troy Aikman, and Michael Irvin stepping on the field on week one against the Giants.
Well, you might have mentioned that Irvin and Harper reincarnated is back with the Cowboys right now, but I didn't say it.
No, you didn't say it, but you're basically, you are saying it without saying it.
5,000 yards in the regular season.
He's a great regular season quarterback.
Yeah. In his sleep.
Yes.
Yeah. And you're poo-pooing the Cowboys.
I'm not poo-pooing them. I'm not poo-pooing them.
Winning for the Giants week one.
I didn't ever said easy win, but I do think the Giants will win the game.
You're in for a world of hurt. You understand that?
I am entering a world of pain. It's only just begun. Look, the Giants have not gotten off to great starts in week one. We know that. But that was under a different regime. This is the John Harbaugh regime. And I think you, Ozzy, and your Cowboy brethren, you are the people, in fact, that are entering a world of pain. A giant pain.
Every year since 1995, I've been thinking about that we're going to win the Super Bowl starting week one. But I have a theory about Abdul Carter.
Okay.
And I swear on my kids and my kittens, I had this since he shot up the draft board. Are you ready?
I am.
He shot up the draft board in that semifinal game against Notre Dame.
Right.
And Notre Dame was out three or four of their offensive linemen starters, and he wrecked the game.
Mm-hmm.
So he might be a wolf in sheep's clothing. I don't know, man. He might not be all that he's cracked up to be.
Well, listen, he's got a lot to answer for. He had a very disappointing rookie season, to say the least. If he has a bad second year, he will be labeled a bust. That's just the way it goes around here. If he has two awful years, because last year was just not good enough, he will be labeled a bust. He's got a lot to prove this season. And look, if that ends up being the case, then you're 100% right. He was overhyped and then obviously overdrafted, and perhaps because overblown a situation where he took advantage of a bad offensive line. And that's why I caution people at Arvel Reese. You keep hearing about Arvel Reese, and we heard the same thing about Abdul Carter last year. And I know I can put the cart before the horse, and I can be hyperbolic, so I'm certainly as guilty of it as anybody, but you just have to have a little bit of caution right now when it comes to Arvel Reese, because we saw what Carter was in his rookie year, and it was unimpressive.
And speaking of caution, and I told you this from the second that Harbaugh was hired.
Mm-hmm.
His main job
mm-hmm.
is to keep Dart healthy.
Yep.
Dart is going to play with that reckless abandon as he's been doing since Pop Warner football. So that's easier said than done to rein him in. And Dart could also start having, if he can't play the way he's been playing his entire life, sophomore jinx type stuff. And then it could all start to crumble from there.
Are you predicting a sophomore jinx for Jackson Dart? That's what it sounds like. You're kind of beating around the bush, so to speak, there. But is that what you're referring to? A sophomore
jinx? All right, you
jinx?
Had mentioned how you were giddy in the fact that Harbaugh wasn't going to rein him in any way and he was going to let him play like Lamar.
Mm-hmm.
That's impossible to do and keep him healthy at the same time. You know it and I know it, the way he plays.
Yeah, it's a delicate balance.
So
I don't
play
think
like that.
Well,
he's going to second guess and question himself.
Well, listen, I I've had enough of you, Ozzy, so I'm going to let you go. I'm sure we'll be hearing from you at some point again this week, which we all look forward to. Everybody circles that on their calendar when Ozzy and Woodridge joins the After Hours program. I think the Jackson Dart stuff with his health is completely and utterly overblown, including the sliding stuff, which he slid at practice today. Apparently got a Bronx cheer while the players and coaches gave him sort of a round of applause. it feels like almost like an inside joke thing with the Giants. I think Jackson Dart can be Lamar Jackson. He can play with that enthusiasm, that passion, running the ball, because that's a big part of Jackson Dart's game. He can do that and still remain healthy. And with experience, I think it becomes awareness, and all those things can help Jackson Dart stay out of the blue medical tent this season and beyond. Let's go to Brian in Westbury. He joins us next here on After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer on the Fan. What's going on, Brian?
How you doing? Listen, I'm a Clark graduate. Some bit sad news on Long Island. Holy Trinity High School, my two brothers went there. I went down the block by Eisenhower Park. Mm-hmm. It's closing down.
Really?
They got rid. Yeah, very sad. You know, my brother played football for Holy Trinity, and it's trying to save it. There was a big lawsuit against Dyer Strackville Center, and they're going to close down Holy Trinity and St. John the Baptist.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that. Yeah, I'm a Long Island guy. I got my roots there. All the places you're naming are very familiar.
Yeah. Listen, first of all, Ozzy is a phony. Most of these Dallas Cowboys. I've been a Yankee fan, I'm a Giant fan.
Well, what do you mean by phony? Yeah. You mean he's a Fugazi Cowboy fan?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know.
He parades around, he prances around like he is a member of America's team's fan base, but in reality, he is what you would say a phony, or what I would say is a Fugazi.
Right. I'm a big Giants fan. I think that you guys are underrating Abdul Carter. Okay, I realize.
Well, not underrating. We're just going off of this. If anything, I for one was very high on Abdul Carter coming out of Penn State, and his first year was underwhelming. So I'm more responding or reacting to the first year we saw him in a Giant uniform.
Okay, no, you have to give him a break.
I'm giving him a break. He's going to see what he does this year. But I think it's a big prove-it year for him, though. Yeah, he gets a break, but in year two, especially with Harbaugh at the helm, we got to see a hell of a lot more from Abdul Carter.
Right, but you're underestimating the Giant defense. They brought in a couple of guys from the Baltimore Ravens. Nobody's talking about.
Yeah, I don't think I am, though. I don't think I am. Maybe you mean Ozzy. I don't think I'm underestimating them at all. Look, they got to figure out a way to stop the run, and that's certainly a concern. But I'm very optimistic about this Giant team this year. So if I was optimistic, then I must be optimistic on some level about the defense.
Well, the one negative would be the secondary. That's my concern. I think the Giants are going to be tough against the run. They've always been tough against the run.
Not as of late, they haven't.
Yes, I understand.
Last couple of years, they've been bad, and that was with Dexter Lawrence, although who knows if he was motivated, in shape, and ready to go. But look, they beefed up the interior of their defensive line. They've improved their linebacking core. The secondary, I still think, needs some work, but stopping the run is number one. And then if they could get a pass rush, you can kind of live with the secondary not being that great. But it is a concern, yes, the back end of the defense, for sure.
But I like Reese a lot. I think the kid's gonna be a superstar this year. That's my prediction right now.
Well, look, he's getting a lot of buzz and a lot of hype at camp, and he was thought to be a project and somebody that, you know, maybe would take a little bit of time. If he comes out of the gate and is a superstar, I think he's going to be just a phenomenal player too. Yeah, because if anything, you figured, all right, it might take some time for him to get acclimated in the NFL.
Right, and also one quick one. Mm-hmm. The Giants drafted a wide receiver from Notre Dame.
Yeah, Malachi Fields.
Yeah, I like him a lot. I think he's going to get major playing time.
Absolutely.
This year for the Giants.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, you look, and I appreciate the call, Brian. All the receivers, and they did a hell of a job this offseason in bringing in, whether it's draft, free agency, they really surrounded Jackson Dart with a lot of guys. Now, part of that is the depth of the talent that they had at wide receiver was bad. And another part of that, I think, was concern over the health of Malik Nabers. And we did get good news on Nabers. He's not going to go on the PUP list. So in theory, he's going to be back early in the year instead of mid to late in the year. I still think he'll sit out a week or so, but overall, we're getting positive news out of Nabers. But yeah, OBJ has been a monster at camp. You bring in a Darnell Mooney. You bring in a Calvin Austin. We just talked about Malachi Fields. A guy that I really like is Isaiah Likely, a tight end, but somebody that could play the slot and be the guy that replaces a Wandell Robinson. Theo Johnson, who had a good rapport with Jackson Dart. Of course, Scataboo and Tyrone Tracy, more in the running back room, but Scataboo can absolutely catch the ball out of the backfield, and I think they will utilize that more in year two of Scat's NFL career. There's a lot to like about the depth. It starts with Neighbors. It starts with getting him back on the field, because outside of Mooney, you know, Neighbors, let's just put it this way. Neighbors is a stud. He's a stud. He's the one guy there that I think is a stud. I mean, anytime you have a rookie, anytime Malachi Fields is a rookie, you know, he could certainly have a high ceiling because you just don't know what you're going to get. And until you see him out there week in and week out, it's hard to cap what his performance is going to be. But you know what Neighbors is. And even coming off this injury, look, I'll put it at a small percentage. He's not the same that he was pre-injury. But I'm feeling good about that we're going to see the Malik Neighbors that we all saw and loved in the early stages of his Giant career. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Moose joins us from Jamaica. What's going on, Moose?
Good little evening.
What is happening, Moose? How you doing?
Yes, on this five-hour Lugowski.
A big Lugowski, a five-hour after hours. Yes, and hopefully you are having a very pleasant Lug evening.
Likewise. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'd like to talk Yankees and positive prospects for the Giants from a neutral perspective, you know, a neutral football observer, you know.
An NFL, so to speak.
Basically.
Yeah.
So, considering the weekend, and another, it seems like I told you before, August and late July has been the World Series previews for the Yankees on the schedule, whether the series are set up or not,
right,
with injuries and health. That notwithstanding, George Lombard, first returns. I can see why we didn't move on from him. It's pleasant to see that. He is not just producing, but has invigorated, given the Yankees a pulse, a defibrillation, a breath of fresh air, just CPR, just to pump us back into life.
Major shot in the arm, no doubt about it.
And the whole winning on Friday was incredibly lucky, sparked by that kid. So Yankee fans can't be upset we didn't sweep. We were literally on our dying.
Bro, Friday night I thought was one of the best wins of the year, if not the best. I mean, that was a rally completely out of nowhere, and you had some. Ben Rice was struggling, got a big hit. Wells has been struggling, got a big hit. Lombard started it all with the. I mean, Iglesias had the poor throw, but the idea of making contact, putting the ball in play, which started everything. And like you said, Lombard has kind of been that spark. It was an amazing win, and then you followed that up with Saturday on Old Timers Day getting a win, and Sunday, it just sucks that you spoiled a Cam Schlittler amazing performance, but you're right. You take two out of three, you sign for that going into a series against the first-place Braves.
Yes, and now to the Giants. Things are lining up beautifully for them. You know why? Not just the schedule, but it seems like John Harbaugh is basically establishing a little bit of, guys, I'm new here. I haven't seen anything from you guys. You're just getting to know me. So whether it be the position battles in training camp or the feisty nature everybody is competing with on practices and scrimmages, and we'll see that in the preseason game coming up this weekend, as long as the rest of them, till week one. So he's making the players earn it. There is no grace. There is no gratitude. There is no, you know, mistaken false sense of security or benefit of the doubt with these players and with John Harbaugh. Yeah, there's definitely appreciation and overall joy that he's here. But I think people are starting to understand the responsibility of being a Giant. How you have to perform.
Oh, yeah, the expectation.
The style of play.
No doubt. Yeah, no doubt about it. It's one of those things, it's his way or the highway, and I appreciate the call, Moose, and you'll find that out quickly. And Harbaugh said that really in his open production. I get a little bots in the brain, a little stew nod. It's okay. Once in a while, we'll have a flub. We can't take two in radio. And some people just say power through it, but I like to peel back the curtain. Look, I'm not a robot, at least I don't think. I do make mistakes. I don't know what word I was looking for there, but the word I was looking for, I did not find. But the bottom line is this. With Harbaugh, and you heard it in his introductory press conference, if you don't love football, you're not going to love it here. And the first guy that got shown the door arguably didn't love football the last couple of years, and that is Dexter Lawrence. So the first signs of it were there already. And I think you're going to see that throughout the tenure of John Harbaugh. He's a taskmaster. He's a football guy. He's a leader of men, a CEO, adult in the room, something the Giants desperately needed after failed coordinator after failed coordinator after failed coordinator. They needed a guy with experience, a program builder, and somebody that can walk through those doors and teach this team the most valuable lesson that he could possibly teach, any coach can teach his team, a young team, and that is how to win. Because the Giants as an organization, these young players, they either forgot how to win as an organization, or these young players, they never were taught how to win at this level. And that's what Harbaugh does immediately. He brings you credibility. He brings in leadership. He brings in culture right out of the gate. And a lot was made about that viral video that was put out by the Giants of his speech to the team. Look, it got a nothing reaction. The players probably rather be anywhere but there when they were listening to Harbaugh. This is not week one against the Cowboys. It's not the playoffs. It's they're just sitting there and they're whatever. It got a zero reaction. But I didn't think it was a bad speech. I also didn't think it was the greatest thing I ever heard. Now, I was taken aback by the polarizing opinions on it, which tells you that the Giants, really anything content-wise for the Giants, especially with Harbaugh, is going to generate polarizing opinions around here, or just in general in the NFL landscape, or the NFL space. But regardless, because I didn't see that speech and say, okay, the Giants are screwed. And I didn't see that speech to say, well, it furthers my feeling on the Giants are going to have a great year and a great tenure with Harbaugh manning the ship. I just listened to it and went one ear and out the other, but it wasn't until the reaction to it where I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting. Because I thought it was okay. I thought it was like a C+. It was good for the time that he delivered the speech. I don't think it has any bearing on Harbaugh not being able to connect with younger players or the fact that Harbaugh is overrated or that Harbaugh is going to have a... Look, it didn't end well in Baltimore, and I think that franchise and Harbaugh needed a divorce. That happens sometimes. When you have a long marriage like that, ask anybody in Hollywood. Sometimes you have a long marriage and it's time to get divorced. Some actors and actresses do it about 6 or 7 times. Well, look, if you don't get it right the first time, try it again another 12 times. But in this instance with Harbaugh and the Ravens, it was the right time for the divorce. And I think both franchises will be better off with it. I think the Ravens will be better off with it, and I think the Giants obviously bringing in Harbaugh and Harbaugh himself will be better off with it because John gets a new lease on life with a new young quarterback and a roster that you could be really, really excited about. And a team that is just, they're sitting there like puppy dogs hoping that Harbaugh or waiting for Harbaugh to teach them how to win, which is something they don't know how to do. Which is why the record was what it was last year, even with the talent that they have. That has only gotten better, which what I think is a good offseason, good free agency class, and a good draft class. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer. It is Lugie in the late night. If you're on hold, we'll get to you. Always want to make sure we get to all the callers. We got you for 2.5 more hours. Now, I don't have anywhere to be. You might have somewhere to be. I can't do anything about that, but I'm contractually to be here till midnight. So if you want to hop on board right now, whatever's on your mind, Giants, Jets, Yankees, we'll get into the Mets coming up in a little bit as they're still in the 7th inning. So once that game ends, I'll give you some of my thoughts and feelings on not only this recent streak by the Mets, but also looking to the future when it comes to the Mets offseason, the final couple months of this year and next year as well. But that's coming up more in the later 10 o'clock, early 11 o'clock hour here on After Hours. The phone number to join the conversation, 888-808-1019. It is Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan.
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. Maintain-X was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With Maintain-X, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on Maintain-X because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try Maintain-X free at maintainx.com. That's MAINTAINX.com, an Autodesk company.
Odyssey celebrates Labor Day. Brought to you by T-Mobile, America's best mobile network according to Ookla speed test. Based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data 1H 2026.
What if the thing you're listening to right now never got interrupted? What if it could play uninterrupted from room to room on Sonos? What if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels? What if you really like how it feels and you become a Sonos person who can't stop saying to their friends, what if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels? Because it's not magic, but it's not not magic.
You know, there's a photo circulating around the internet of Wade Boggs. And Wade, let me double check the age here for Wade. Wade is 68 years young because he posted a video shirtless on a boat fishing, and he looks absolutely jacked and ripped. And for somebody who has gotten more into the jogging, about to join a gym, I'd like to know Wade's secrets. Because, you know, Wade Boggs throughout his career, he was never, you know, chiseled out of granite. He was never jacked up. And here he is at 68 years old, pushing 70. And like I said, if you have access to the internet, you can check it out. He himself posted it. And the caption is, just another great day on the water. It has almost 2 million views. And it's a picture of Wade, literally. My first thought was, is this AI? Because that's how good he looks. He looks like he's in his 20s. No man boobs. You know, I struggle a little bit with that. I have problem areas. I got some man boobs. I got a little bit of a stomach. And he's chiseled. He's got a six-pack of abs. Very veiny here, by the way. So good vasculinity. Is that what they call it? Vascular. Very vascular. But I would imagine at this point, Wade Boggs has been hitting the gym. I would say that Wade Boggs has been hitting the weights. I would say that Wade Boggs is absolutely in the best shape of his life. He just looks ridiculously jacked. I'm jealous. To be that age, and really any age. You know, I marvel at people that have any, you know, male, female, that are in great shape, because it takes a lot of sacrifice. Food tastes good. That's the one thing about it. Food and partying is fun. So it's hard to, you'd have to sacrifice a lot of your life to look this good. And you figure you get in your 60s, you had a great baseball career. You'd be like, I'm good. I don't need to work out anymore. I barely worked out when I was younger. And now here you are at 68 years old and you're jacked up. So he's definitely hitting the weights. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Chris in Sayville. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Tommy. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to talk about the Yankees a little bit. As a diehard Yankee fan, I'm 30 years old. I was young in the 90s, so I don't remember those World Series. But seeing 09 was fun. You know, at the deadline, I'm a very disappointed Yankees fan. You know, seeing what the Dodgers did, obviously, and we could talk about that. But you look at that bullpen. Lately, you're relying on Paul Blackburn as your setup man. As a Yankee fan, it's disgusting. I know he's been good. Brent Hedrick is a lefty specialist.
You worry about Blackburn turning into a pumpkin, though. That's the concern there.
Yeah. I mean, I you know, now I'm thinking to myself, like, you know, come to the playoffs, you're going to run a four-man rotation.
Yep.
Do you bring Ryan Weathers in the eighth inning?
Bingo. Like, yep. Where Clark Schmidt, Weathers, Will Warren. I think the master plan is to have those starters that can't find any room in the rotation, they will be high-leverage relievers come playoff time.
I just don't get how you can't go out there and get any. And the Minnesota Twins made more moves than the New York Yankees.
No, it was an incomplete trade deadline. You're absolutely spot on. They needed to add a professional catcher. They did not do that. I don't want to hear about Mitch Garver or Betancourt or anybody like that.
Oh my God.
Yeah, come on, please. Off the scrap heap. They should have got a catcher, especially considering the Red Sox and the Rays were able to do that. And then I think they should have added another arm, especially when you consider now it was the right thing to do, but they let Bird go in a trade. They let Duvall go in a trade.
Oh.
You had to bring in another arm here, and they did not do that. So once again, the Yankees are relying a lot, heavily relying on guys that are not here when they come back to beat, you know, Bellinger, Stanton, Judge, Schmidt, and then, of course, Weathers and Warren as well. So it's a lot of square peg, round hole, and instead of just having the correct roster construction. And I worry about the bullpen, too, as far as having anything left in the tank when we get to the end. And that includes Bednar.
Yeah, Fernando Cruz, Tim Hill. I'm sorry, but these guys you can't rely on anymore. Another thing I just wanted to bring up is, and I'm sure other Yankee fans have called in asking about this, why couldn't you package up Dominguez and Volpe? And you're going to go let them rot in AAA,
yeah.
And you could have got them something for them. Like, what are we doing here? You know,
I still think it's time
for Cashman to go?
Well,
is it
probably been time, but I would say that they still have high hopes. I can't believe this, but I still think they have high hopes for Volpe. Dominguez, you're 100% right. I mean, he's 23 years old. He still has value because of his age and because of his talent. I just think he has a low baseball IQ, and it's not going to work here in New York. But, yeah, I'm surprised by that. I don't think they can quit Anthony Volpe. I just have a sneaky suspicion Jazz ends up walking or they let Jazz walk, and they're going to try to force Anthony Volpe to be the future second baseman, and we're going to have to listen to Aaron Boone talk about how great Anthony Volpe is at a new position.
Yeah, I don't know what you think about this, Tommy. Mm-hmm. If Aaron Boone doesn't make the World Series this year, he's done.
Are you asking what do I think about that, or do I think that's going to happen?
No, what do you think about that?
I think he's keeping his job, barring losing in the first round, in the wild card round.
Well, that right now, if things line up the way it is, that you got Yankees, Red Sox at the stadium, that's not something I feel comfortable at this moment. But you know, I appreciate you taking my call, Tommy.
Yep.
I think it's going to be a long 2 months for Yankee fans.
Yeah, I don't share exactly in your pessimism. Look, this is the time of year where the Yankees get hot, just in general. You know, year in and year out, they get hot around mid to late August into September. The schedule is very favorable over the next four series. You got Seattle, you got Toronto, you got Baltimore, and then you get Toronto again. So you're looking at four sub-500 opponents over the next four series, which could be advantageous for the Yankees, especially with the way they're pitching. I expect the Yankees to totally take care of Seattle. Seattle has quit on the year, and they've had the most disappointing season of any team in the American League. The Mariners are, and maybe Toronto right up there as well, which the Yankees are going to get twice. So you're going to get three series against disappointing teams here, four series against under 500 teams. This is an opportunity for the Yankees to flex their muscles a little bit, especially in the pitching. We'll see if anybody can wake up offensively. I've already talked about moving Jazz Chisholm down in the order. I know Austin Wells overall is not hit, but I would move Jazz to the ninth hole. I know Austin Wells, you don't want to move him up in the lineup because he hasn't earned that right, but Jazz Chisholm has not earned the right to hit in the middle of this order or anywhere near other than eighth, ninth. He's just been that bad. A major disappointment, and maybe it's the pressure of the money, but Jazz Chisholm has not delivered at all. He's not delivered at all. But you know who is delivering? Wade Boggs. I mean, I'm just looking at these photos of Wade Boggs where he looks completely, utterly, I mean, he's 68 years old. It's all over the internet. He himself, Wade Boggs himself, I believe, posted it. And it's Wade holding, I think it's a fishing pole. And he's got his shirt off. The sun is out. It's just all over his skin here. It says vast, very veiny. But it looks like Wade Boggs has been certainly hitting the weights.
Bring some of them chicks around here sometime, huh? A little much.
And I'm very jealous of it. Because I am 20-something years younger, and I have man boobs, and my stomach is not where I need it to be. So it's frustrating. That's why I got to join a gym. I mean, I drive past the gym like every day, and I'm like, I'm going to join that gym. And then I just drive past it. Because, it's a whole thing. At this point, though, because I haven't joined a gym in forever. I would imagine you can join a gym on the internet now. You know what I mean? Like on an app. Like everything is an app now. If gyms don't have an app, that would be... The only thing that would shock me more is news that I found out last night, which is, and I was completely unaware of this, but that is that diners now close at like 10 o'clock at night. What world are we living in here? That was a staple when I was younger, when I was out going out partying. You'd hit the diner up afterwards. You'd either get a double cheeseburger with some bacon, and every diner, no matter which diner you went to on Long Island, they would give you the coleslaw with the pickle right on the coleslaw. Little small cup or bowl of the coleslaw, and then smack down in the middle of it would be a pickle. And I'm not a pickle snob, so I always ate that pickle. The coleslaw, I could take it or leave it. And then if I went breakfast, I wouldn't, because some people, they got a sweet tooth. They just go pancakes or they go waffles. I would go with the eggs. I would substitute the home fries. I would get out of there and I would have French fries. And I'm a big ketchup guy. I like to load it up with ketchup. I'm like Dale in Step Brothers. I like it. I just put a ton of ketchup on there. I can go omelet. I can go scrambled eggs. I can go sunny side up. Dealer's choice there. Whatever mood I'm in, so to speak. But the idea that that's not the case anymore, where diners on Long Island are not open till 3, 4, 5 in the morning, 24 hours. So you're telling me you get a night out in the town, you get an Uber to the diner, you're looking for food, and the diners are closed? And listen, fast food is great if you're in the mood for it. But that sit-down meal where you could extend the night and everybody would be in there from the bars and there would be conversation and it would be fun. You're telling me that's gone now? Is that what you're telling me, bro? Is that what you're telling me, though? Is that what's happening? I couldn't believe that when somebody informed me of that news yesterday. So I got to open a diner, really, is what I'm getting at here. And I've thought about multiple businesses here. First would to be the first ever sports gigolo or escort. I don't really know what the PC term is, but essentially you would pay for us to go to a game, whether it's a baseball game, whether it's a basketball game. And really it could be for any team. Obviously, I'm a Knicks fan. I'd prefer to go to the Garden, but I could go to Barclays Center. I certainly wouldn't be the only person in there that doesn't root for the Nets. Hockey, football, whatever the case may be. That was one of the business ideas I had. The second business idea I had, because I am now in a little bit of a conundrum where my wife doesn't like going to the movies, and I'm off really just during the day, so I don't really have friends to go with here because they're all working. I'm very close to pulling the trigger for the first time in my life, going to the movies by myself. But I thought about a business where I would be very similar to the sports gigolo or escort, whatever the term is, the correct term. And that would be the same thing applied to the movies where you are a solo person going to a movie and maybe you're like, I would like some companionship at the movies. And then you and I would go to the movies together. So those were the first two ideas as far as business. I always wanted to open up a Wawa here in New York because to me, the fact that we don't have Wawas here in New York is just ridiculous. Love me some Wawa, and anytime I'm in New Jersey or Pennsylvania, I literally make it a point to go to a Wawa every single time. Every single time. So I've always wanted to open up a Wawa here, but now I got to open up a diner, a 24-hour diner. 10 o'clock at night. Even if you want to go at 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock, a little bit of coffee, a little bit of cheesecake. And when I'm diner, yeah, I'm strictly breakfast or a burger. Maybe like chicken tenders or a salad, a big salad. We don't have a big salad here. Do you have a big bowl? Yes. Then put the salad in that. But that's a travesty as far as I'm concerned. 888-808, the diners are closing at 10 o'clock at night. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. George joins us from Old Bridge. What's up, George?
Hey, I've always listened to you, and I've always wanted to call up, and I never have.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge Yankee fan, but before I get into Yankees, I'm going to throw two things out there. You can talk about it after you hang up with me.
Okay.
I want you to do an STD on Jack De Niro versus Jack Nicholson.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And... a diner, you can't say a food with diner without including disco fries.
You know what? I'm so glad, George, and I know we had to wait till after your call. You're right. And I slipped my mind. You're 1,000% right. Disco fries, for those in the audience that don't know what we're referring to, is fries with gravy and maybe like some cheese melted on the fries as well?
Mozzarella cheese. Mozzarella cheese. And you can't do cheddar cheese. You got to do mozzarella cheese.
Yep, you're 110% right. Somewhere along the line, a couple of stoners decided to think and say, you know what would be great? We had gravy and fries and we combined that at 3 o'clock in the morning. And then it was birthed disco fries, but you're 1,000% right, George, on that. That's a good job by you.
And you got to ask for the steak fries, and it's got to be done in the broiler. Because you got to burn it a little bit. Excellent, excellent. So my Yankee point is, I love Cashman, and I hate him. I hate him because he hasn't given us a championship except 2009. Mm-hmm. I don't count the other ones. I still say Bob Watson and the stick did it all for him.
Yep, fair enough.
But he does have success. If we fire him, any other team in baseball would jump at him. Oh, by the way, I used to work with Stewie Sternberg and Andrew Freeman on the floor of the American Stock Exchange. They're friends of mine, just throw it out there.
Okay.
They were all finance guys. They all worked for Spieles and Kellogg. I think that Aaron Judge is hurt a lot more than what they were believing. That they publicly told us, regardless of what he said last week.
Oh, of course, because you know what? He's been out longer than most of us projected, and he's only been cleared right now for light activity, so he's not even cleared for really baseball activity, so the idea of him even returning this month is out the window. Early September's out the window, so now we're looking at best-case scenario mid to late September. I totally agree with you that it's one of those situations where they're not leading us on to where how bad it is.
Yeah, with them not getting a catcher or a reliever, with this pitching staff, with them not doing anything, it's because they can't win without Judge. This pitching staff is the best they've ever had. Mm-hmm. Even in the 90s, I think this pitching staff is better than them. This pitching staff is unreal.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you don't have Mariano. That would be the magic, you know what I mean? Bednar's been great, but he's not Mariano. But yeah, as far as the aces, the top three guys that they have, although they certainly had some real good ones back in the day, but yeah, Schlittler, Fried, and Cole are as good as any, you know, trio of Yankee starters that we have seen in the modern era.
Yes. But great talking to you. Thank you very much, and go Yankees.
You got it. Now, as far as the STD that you had, and listen, that's... So the early stages of after hours, meaning the first couple of months, we had a system where once a week we did Ask Tommy Anything, and then we did Settle the Debate. So if you had an STD, you would present it to the show, and I would do my best to settle the debate. We don't do it necessarily like we used to. A lot of that has to do with the Yankees being on most nights and sports being a little bit busier these days, although the summer could be a smidge slower, but it just hasn't panned out where we do it every single week. That being said, if you have a Ask Tommy Anything or an STD that you'd love to share with everybody, feel free. You don't have to feel like you're, hey, I have this STD, I got to call up, but it's not really the Settle the Debate segment, so I don't know what to do. Feel free, if you have an STD, to share it with all of us, to share it with everybody here. And then I will do my best to settle that debate. And the STD you gave us is De Niro versus Jack in terms of actor and their catalog of movies. Great one. Very tough. For me, it's De Niro. I'll give the slight edge to De Niro.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork. But somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule, automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Odyssey celebrates Labor Day. Brought to you by T-Mobile, America's best mobile network according to Ookla speed test. Based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data 1H 2026.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.